And now, a word from our sponsors.
One of the sections that people really struggle with the most on the DAT is the Perceptual Ability Test, or the PAT.
Luckily, we've partnered with PAT Crusher to help you guys succeed. These guys are legit. In fact, their service has the highest average reported score out of any service at 23, which is more than competitive for every school in the country.
Now, some of you may be taking the DAT for the second time and want to know what you should be doing differently. These guys have a 100% higher score guarantee, so if your score doesn't go up, you get a refund.
We believe in PAT Crusher so much that we're offering 50% off when you use the code PODCAST, all lowercase, on their website, patcrusher.com.
What's up, everyone? This is your host, Marco.
And this is Rose Clayton.
And you're listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast.
Oh, I missed that.
So good to finally
look
be back.
Look at that spike in the audio. That's a good high five.
That's a very good high five.
My hand is...
We sit with the laptop in front of us, and we have GarageBand recording us, and we can see the level of the audio, and this high five pretty much broke the scale there.
It went off of the screen. That's how impressive it was.
It's better than staying on the screen.
That's
I don't even know what that joke meant.
Oh, good grief. So, interviews. Interviews are going on right now.
People are interviewing at dental schools. Is that not crazy?
It is. It seems...
But a lot of them are doing it through Zoom.
I don't know what Zoom is. I'm 94 years old.
The computers, so Clayton.
Oh, of course. They're on the computers
now. The thing that's in front of us, you know, it's like the book, but it lights up.
Oh, I know. I just thought it was a light-up book. I never knew what those things were. So a lot of people are on Zoom now. So, you know, we already did an interview podcast where we gave some tips and everything about Zoom, but this one, a little bit different.
We are actually doing a mock interview today, so buckle your seatbelts, especially if you're listening to this in the car, then always buckle your seatbelts.
Yeah, like that's very important. Marco can tell you the importance of driving safely, but we'll get into that later.
So anyways, we will be doing a mock interview, and we're going to be asking some of the most common questions, and then Clayton will probably give most of the bad answers, because he's pretty good at giving bad answers.
I'm fantastic at giving bad answers. I really am. I've gotten really good at it over the years.
And then one of us will give good answers.
Probably neither of us.
Probably. We'll just leave that part blank. And then we'll talk about why we answered the way that we did.
Yeah, but before we get into that, what's been going on? What's something exciting going on in our lives? Anything? Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
That's the most exciting part of life right
that
now.
Pretty much sums it up.
The sound of a beer opening.
The past, three weeks?
It's been 3 weeks.
It's seriously just been like getting punched in the face.
They said fall D2 was tough. And, you know, the first couple weeks really weren't that bad. And then out of nowhere, I mean, we had two tests 2 weeks ago, two tests last week.
And two quizzes.
And a take-home final first exam.
Yep. Yeah.
Today, or not today, but this week, we had a test today, a practical Monday, another practical next Monday, another midterm after that. Like, it just doesn't stop, dear God.
It doesn't. The next, couple of weeks are better?
There's still stuff going on,
yeah.
But they're not as bad.
Yeah, it's been crazy. But yeah, that's pretty much
White Coat Friday.
White Coat Friday. That is very exciting. We see Marco sees his first patient
October 16th.
October 16th, and then I see mine the 23rd. So that's exciting. We're getting there.
It's becoming very real, very legit.
Kind of scary.
It's terrifying, but also the amount of work that we put in the sim lab.
Oh,
it's muscle memory at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, without further delay here, I think we can get this mock interview on the road. What'd you say?
Absolutely. So, Clayton Sorrells, we're so glad to have you here at Marco School of Dentistry.
If I was ever at that school, I'd drop out.
Anyways, so, Clayton Sorrells, why do you want to be a dentist?
So, I want to be a dentist because I was a nurse first. I was a nurse for 3 years. And when I went to nursing school, didn't completely know what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to go into a profession where I helped people. So that's why I went to nursing school. And that's also why I want to come to dental school. So I want to help people. I was a nurse first, have tons of healthcare experience, but I realized nursing just wasn't the thing for me. I just, you know, I didn't go home feeling like that was something I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So I started shadowing dentists, and I started asking around and just, you know, looking into dentistry, and I really saw that it was something that I could really be interested in. Also love working with my hands, and I know that dentistry, you know, you work with your hands a lot. So that was some really big things that led me to becoming a dentist or wanting to become a dentist.
Very good. I think that was a solid answer. I think you touched on your, first off, reasoning, which you will get asked this question. I don't know about the rest of the questions in our interview, but you will be asked why you want to be a dentist, no matter what school you go to, what interview it is. That is always the first question and the main question that they ask. But I think you also touched on that you've looked into the field, that you've shadowed, that you know generally what it's about, and that you have previous healthcare experience. And when you answer the question, you don't want to just answer the question. You want to do exactly what Clayton did and touch on different components of your application and touch on your experiences. That way, you can kind of plant the seed for questions that they're going to ask later, that they may say, okay, you were a nurse. Well, you just already brought up that you were a nurse, so that's not coming as a shock.
Right. And especially for non-traditional students, if you were a teacher or a firefighter or, you know, a minor, anything like that, you
like
need
me
to be...
and you were a model.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Anything like that, you need to be prepared to defend yourself. So, you know, like I went ahead and said that I was a nurse, and I said why I didn't want to be a nurse anymore. So you need to go ahead and be prepared to defend why you did this before coming to dentistry as well. So that's something you just need to be prepared for.
Good job.
Thank you.
You got accepted to
so
Marco
much.
School of Dentistry here.
I refuse to go. So, Marco, welcome to Clayton Sorrell's School of Dentistry of Hard Knocks. What and why, not what, why do you want to be a dentist?
Well, you know, all the dentists that I know in my town drive really nice cars and they live a pretty sweet life, and they're usually just there like Monday through Thursday, sometimes even Monday through Wednesday, and they just seem to have really good lives. And I think I just want that. I want a lot of free time, and I don't want to necessarily have to work all that hard when I go to work. You know, I've been a server at a restaurant throughout undergrad, and I just don't want to work like that for the rest of my life. So yeah, that it just seems like a pretty sweet gig, and I would love to do it.
So if you are sitting in your car right now and sitting at your home and you're not shaking your head and you're not saying, oh no, that's a terrible answer, you need to practice interviewing, because that was awful. Like, some of the things he said are true about dentistry, like the work-life balance is good, but you can reword it a lot better than that. So, and those are the things we're wanting to touch on as well.
Exactly. You know, it's okay to want to have a decent lifestyle, and you can mention that in your interview, but don't just say you don't want to work hard and you want a lot of money and you want a chill lifestyle. You know, the lifestyle with dentistry is more lax as far as scheduling and whatnot goes, but it's still pretty tough. Like,
it is.
You're seeing patients and you're problem solving all day, every day.
And if you have a private practice, you're running a business like on top of, you know, seeing patients and stuff. So it's still hard work, and you are being interviewed by dentists. They don't want to be like slapped in the face by you saying, oh, dentistry isn't hard work. I mean, that's just insulting
right
to them.
It's hard to get into school.
Yeah.
School is insanely difficult. And seeing patients after school or even in school is difficult. So you don't want to downplay them by any means. You really want to, and listen, there's a story about a guy who went to Memphis, and they asked him this question, and he said that he liked how dentists work Monday through Thursday because he's an avid duck hunter and he loves it, and he wants to be able to provide for his family but still be able to follow his passion. And he got in because he was honest with them. He shared. Now, of course, he elaborated much more than that, but he shared what he was passionate about, and he was honest with what he wanted out of the job. But he didn't say it was easy. You know, he said he would work very hard those 4 days a week, but he wanted the flexibility of traveling on the weekends and doing what he wanted because he didn't have that growing up.
Yeah. So moral of the story, you can say that dentistry, you know, you get to pick your schedule and everything, but say it in a way that isn't insulting to the interviewers because they're going to be dentists too. So, you know, just have that answer ready for why do you want to be a dentist? Because that's just an easy one for you to hit out of the park.
You know, and if you want to bring up money, always phrase it as something like living a comfortable lifestyle or being able to provide for your family.
Being able to give back.
Giving back to the community, yeah. Donating, starting a charity, whatever you want to call it. But people know that dentists make good money. So you don't have to sit there and say, and it sounds very pretentious to sit there and say, oh, well, I want to be rich. It's like, yeah, no duh. We all want to be rich one day.
Exactly.
But, you know, I'll tell you this, and we've said it in several episodes now. If money is your only reason for coming to dental school, you are going to hate your life, and you could very well not make it through.
And the same thing is with the schedule. Sure, you're only working Monday through Thursday, but patients are still going to be calling you on Friday afternoons and Saturdays and even Sundays. Even during Christmas, they're going to be calling you. So you can't come into a field just because you make a lot of money or just because the schedule is really nice. You actually have to want to be a dentist and want to do what dentists do. So they need to know that.
Incredible.
Absolutely. I think that was fantastic, really.
So, question number two.
You want to ask it?
What? I asked the first one first.
Oh, right.
We'll go back and forth.
I see that. When was a time? When was a time? When was a Just don't do that. Don't do that on the Zoom call.
Point number two, don't interrupt your interviewers.
Make sure your mic is muted before you make noises like that. When was a time that you experienced failure?
Well, I feel like there's been several instances throughout my life where I've experienced failure, to be quite honest. You know, I believe that my application shows my highlight reel, but my life hasn't always been like that. But if I had to pick out a particular point, was my very first test that I took in undergrad. It was Principles of Biology, fun enough, and I, in high school, had been so used to not really studying that much and still making relatively good grades. It just came easy to me. And I thought that was going to translate to college, so I didn't take it seriously. You know, I looked over my notes, thought it was going to be fine, and then I'm clicking through the test, and I submit, and a 50 pops up. And my jaw dropped, my heart sank, and I just thought my life was over. I remember I was shaking and I called my mom and I told her how sorry I was and that I was going to be switching from dentistry to the business profession. And I didn't know exactly what that was going to entail, but that I was going to set up a meeting with my advisors and go on from there. So after that initial breakdown, I got my mind together and I actually met with my professor and we figured out what I needed to do better on the next test and ended up making an A in the class, which I had to study so hard for. I had never worked hard like that, but in regards to my academics, but I pushed myself to a new limit and I was able to go from a 50 on the first test to an A in the class. And I believe that kick in the butt initially was a massive motivator for the rest of my undergraduate studies is that, you know, if I want to go into dentistry and take this seriously, then I'm going to have to work for it. And that it's not going to be like high school where I could just skate my way on by. So although it was an initial shock, I am thankful for it because it taught me how to work harder to get to where I need to go.
Excellent answer. That was a really good one. And see, I think the important thing when answering, you know, when did you fail? It's saying when you failed, but it's also saying how you overcome that failure.
You have to. If you just say why you failed, you didn't all they're going to remember is the failure.
Yeah, you didn't learn anything from it. You just failed and you're a failure. But if all of us fail, all of us fail at something, there's something in our life that's not going to go right at some point. So it's okay. It's okay to fail, but you need to show them that you learned from it, that you overcame it, and you need to explain how you did it. So I think that was a great answer.
Thanks. Yeah, they could also say, what's a time that you experienced adversity?
Yep.
You know, so the time that you experienced adversity, you know, Clayton growing up as an ugly kid.
Being a ginger, it just really is.
And now look at you. Exactly. You have a wonderful fiance.
I'm fine. I think she's colorblind. She doesn't realize I'm ginger. But yeah, and another way they can word it too, and I hear it a lot, is like, when did you have a conflict? So just be ready for those questions. Like, when did you experience a failure? When did you experience a conflict or adversity? So just be prepared for those types of questions. Be ready to explain yourself and how you overcame it.
So I don't think we really need a bad answer for that one, because we touched on it that if you don't go past what was the failure, you didn't fully answer the question. And you don't want to ramble all day. Like, your interview has a certain time limit.
Right.
But fully answer the question. And if you want to sidetrack a little bit and expand on the question, you can. You know, if they ask you, what's the time that you experience failure, and you end up spending 30 minutes talking about your favorite professor, then that's not going to work out in your favor. But I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I've never failed in my entire life. I'm completely awesome. And I have never messed up. That's something you don't want to say. Don't ever.
Right.
All of us have done something poorly.
You know, and I think part of dentistry too is having the humility to know when you've messed up or when to stop and step back. So, yeah, I think that's the worst answer you could give is saying, I can't think of anything. Can I get back to you on that? Like, no, like we all experience a ton of failures in life. I don't care how perfect you think you are.
Definitely.
So, Clayton, this is me, Marco,
hey, Marco.
Dean of Marco School of Dentistry.
Still not going, I deny.
Well, you're interviewing. So your third question here is, who is your hero and why?
So I actually have two heroes. So this is going to be extremely corny and extremely cheesy, but it's my mom and dad. Like, I grew up in a great family. I mean, they've always provided for me. They've always been there for me. They've always given me great advice. So my dad grew up dirt floor poor, literally, like, grew up on a dirt floor, worked two jobs while I was growing up just to provide for our family and show me how to do so much stuff, you know, from doing mechanics and construction and plumbing, everything, just everything under the sun. And I mean, I look up to the guy. I love the guy. He's just shown me so much and taught me so much. And then my mom, I don't know. My mom scares me, for one, because I've never seen someone fight so much for their kids in my entire life. If anything ever went wrong in my life, my mom would, like, punch someone in the face, I think, or kick them in the throat. So, I mean, she's just always gone to bat for us, and I really respect that, because that's how I want to be for my kids, too, and for my patients, because, you know, I want to be able to fight for them when something isn't going right. I want to be able to be there for them like my mom and dad were when something isn't going right. So I always want to be able to, you know, just be able to do what they did for me and just be able to provide for my family and for my patients and just people around me.
So I have a follow-up question here.
Yes, please.
And I think it's going to put you in a moral dilemma, which is why I'm asking. But you said you want to be like the fighting mother for your kids and for your patients.
Yes.
Now, what if one of your patients is talking mad game about one of your kids, or one of your kids is talking mad game about one of your patients?
I'm going to side with my kids every single time, whether they're dead wrong or not.
Okay, good answer. Good answer. So I think Clayton touched on a lot of things right there. He talked about, first off, who his heroes were and why they were his heroes. He told an emotional story, which it doesn't have to be,
no,
like, oh, I grew up in poverty, or my parents grew up in poverty. You know, if you lived a comfortable lifestyle, you can just say that.
Right. I mean, they know not everyone grew up poor and not everybody grew up rich. So, I mean,
and everyone has their own story.
Exactly.
But I think you also touched on life skills that they've helped you develop, which I think is a sign of maturity. I think you spoke about your patience, which is probably one of the biggest things that you could talk about. And Definitely. You talked about family values. And I think all of those things are extremely important. And they show that you're mature to an extent, that you've thought about having a family one day, or how you can grow and mature as a person, or how you're going to end up treating your patients.
Right. Yeah, so, I agree.
Good answer.
I appreciate that very much. I think you could potentially have a bad answer to this. I think there could be a bad answer. Do you think there could be a bad answer out there?
Let's find out.
Okay. So, Marco, welcome to CSS. That's my initials. School of Dentistry. Welcome. This is the best school that you'll ever be interviewed
by. Is it Clayton Stupid Sorrels?
We're ending the Zoom call now. So, Marco, you big dumb idiot, who is your hero and why?
LeBron James. He's a baller on the court. He does some cool stuff off the court. He's a pretty big advocate for stuff. I think he plays well. I think Lakers are going to win. They beat the mess out of Miami. Yeah, I just think the dude's a G. So
the dude is a G.
Yeah, okay. So don't use words like dude or G or baller.
Yeah.
It's a professional interview.
It is. Because even, so at the beginning of the interview, you know, you're just talking about yourself. You're talking about why you want to be a dentist. So you're starting to feel comfortable. But you have to remember, these aren't your bros. Like, right. they are interviewing you, even though they're super comfortable with you, they're still professionals.
Imagine the interview as like a business casual outfit. Like, you can get comfortable in a pair of khakis and a polo. But you're still there for business. Right. Like you're not in a pair of sweatpants. You're not in a t-shirt. But I will say real quick what I was trying to get at with the answer that I just gave there. By the way, Clayton and I are doing all this all off the top of our heads.
Yeah, we are.
So we have the list of questions in front of us, and that's about it.
Yeah.
But I said that LeBron does cool things on and off the court. That's okay. That's actually not a bad point.
No, it's not.
But I didn't elaborate on it. At all. You know, I think LeBron James does incredible social work outside of the field of basketball. I think what he's doing is honestly inspirational. But I would have to list what he's doing and talk about how I see that as a motivating factor. And, you know, even just saying that I think he's an incredible basketball player, that's okay too. Because I could say, you know, I'm not very good at basketball, but seeing how hard he works to get to where he wants to be pushes and encourages me to be better in my own life. Like, it doesn't have to be your parents. It can be a famous athlete. It can be
anybody.
A politician. I mean, I don't know about today's society, but be careful.
Politics, yeah.
Be very, 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 very careful bringing up politics. I actually brought up politics. That was probably the first words that were out of my mouth in my LSU interview, and I paid for it.
You got roasted.
The rest of my interview. Dear God, it was so bad. But yeah, be very careful. You want to be pretty apolitical. Unless you're talking about like ASDA advocacy.
Yeah,
efforts.
If you're talking about advocacy, so of course, I mean, it depends on the advocacy. If it's dentistry related,
that's what I'm saying. If it's like through the American Student Dental Association, then they're generally going to be on board because those are bipartisan issues.
Right.
ASDA does not choose sides.
Yeah.
They call it the Tooth Party, actually.
The Tooth Party. But yeah, you can make anyone your hero. You can spin anything, you know, to be your hero. I'm sitting in front of a box of Wheat Thins. I could make this box of Wheat Thins my hero if I spun it correctly. So you just have to be able to, you know, list someone and just be able to make it sound correct.
Right.
Okay, so Am I asking you? So I see here that you worked at a dental office. What were your responsibilities there?
Yeah, so first off, I was extremely thankful to work at that dental office. I think it provided me with an unparalleled experience outside of the classrooms because as important as it is to learn biology and chemistry and all these different sciences and things towards my major, I think that my experience at the dental office provided me with that understanding of what I was getting myself into. And while I was there, I was typically the first person that the patient saw. Excuse me, that's a little bit of a alliteration there. first person that the patient saw. And besides the front desk woman, and I would take their health history down. So that included medical and dental. We would usually get a panoramic x-ray on them. I would basically just start the consultation and ask all the preliminary questions based on what they were there for before the doctor came in to do the examination. And that was usually for the consultations that I was doing, which was most of my job. But I would also assist in surgeries sometimes, not at the hospital, but at the clinic. So running the suction, handing the surgeon the instruments, holding the airway open for the sedated patient. And I just think I learned a lot through that experience, and it's made me even more passionate and excited to potentially go into the field of dentistry.
I think you hit a really big thing there at the end, because you tied it all together, because you didn't say, I did all of this really cool stuff and that's it. You know, you said, I did all of this really cool stuff and it made me want to become a dentist even more. And that's what they really want to see. They want to see that you've been exposed to the field and that you want to become a dentist even more than you did beforehand. Because if you go into the office, you've been working there and you're like, oh gosh, this is terrible.
Right.
Like they, you know, you don't want to say that. You want to show that you are interested even more now that you've been exposed to it.
And even if you're not super passionate about your job, let's say you are at a dental office and all you're really doing is putting away patient charts and
suctioning or something.
Well, not even suction, like not even getting hands-on experience, but suctioning. Like vacuuming, yeah. Cleaning, things like that.
I said suctioning. Vacuuming
patient smells. Yeah, I guess it's a different type there. But you could say that, you know, being around it made you very hungry as yes. far as like, I can't wait for the day that I'm not cleaning bathrooms, but I'm actually getting to perform the procedures, although it's been a very humbling experience.
I love how you said makes you hungry, and then you said cleaning bathrooms.
Well, you know what I meant. Hungry as far as like, you know, you have like a hunger for success.
Yeah, definitely. But I know you didn't mean like eat the toilet.
But even if you work at a restaurant, you know, you could say, yeah. I would talk about teamwork, because that's really what they're getting at when they ask you like a job question is, can you work well with others?
Exactly.
How do you handle stress in your occupation? And
just how do you get along with other people?
Exactly. You know, I think any like food service or entertainment industry profession, yeah. You know, having to work with others. And so many of our classmates worked at restaurants before coming
Definitely.
To dental school.
I mean, it just teaches you people skills. And that's
Which
a
is
huge...
Huge part. You can only teach that to an extent in
yes,
dental school.
Exactly.
You can teach people science all day long, but there are certain people who I know are going to struggle when they get out of dental school because they're some of the smartest people I know, but they can't sell treatment plans. They don't know how to communicate efficiently with others.
Right.
And I just really think they're going to struggle. Yeah. So the more exposure you can get early on, the better.
Exactly. So just throughout your interview, be sure to emphasize that you have good people skills and show why. So like, you know, when you're asked the question about, I see you worked in a dental office, or I see you worked in a restaurant, or I see you worked wherever, just emphasize that you have people skills and you've worked around people. Because, you know, people don't like to come to the dentist. They don't want to come to the dentist. But if they really enjoy talking to you, they're going to want to come to the dentist more. So if you're a good person, if you can talk to people, helps out a whole lot.
So, Clayton, what changes do you see happening in the dental world?
So, I think a big change that we continue to see in everyday life, especially in the dental world, is technology. So, technology has been changing so much. I mean, it changes every year, especially in our lifetime. We've been able to see just, you know, I grew up watching VHS tapes and stuff like that. Like, I didn't have...
You guys grew up writing on stones.
We grew up watching the dinosaurs play. So I think technology is huge. That continues to be a huge thing in everyday life. It continues to be a huge thing in dentistry while you're eating your Wheat Thins. With just CAD/CAM technology and just being able to make crowns in your office, being able to make dentures in your office, not having to send those things off to the lab, it continues to evolve so much. which is why it's important to stay up to date on those things, which is why it's important to take CE courses. So I think the biggest thing that we're going to continue to see for a long time in dentistry is technology. I think it's ever evolving and it's going to probably always be that way.
For sure. For sure. I think that's a good answer. And I'll tell you all right now, if you heard that question and you're like, I don't know any changes in dentistry happening, especially now with COVID, you pause this podcast right now and go look some stuff up.
There's tons of stuff.
The amount of politics that is going into it right now, the amount of technology that's going into it. I know when I interviewed at Memphis, I brought up Smile Direct Club and things like that, like doing at-home ortho. And they asked me my opinion on it. And
that's, you have to be prepared.
You know, and I told them, you know, as not a dental provider, I didn't feel like I could give a complete answer to that. However, just from like a basic level, I felt as though it wasn't good that people were doing everything via mail and photos versus actually seeing a trained professional.
Right. I think Marco hit on a good point just then too. If you don't know the answer to a question, so say they ask you about Smile Direct Club and you really don't know too much about Smile Direct Club, that's okay. It's better to say, you know, I don't know much about that company, but I'm going to look into it after this interview. That it's better to say that than just ramble and just say nonsense, and they know you're saying nonsense.
They're going to know when you're BSing all day long.
So it's okay to say you don't know something. If it's something basic, then, you know, you should know it. But like Smile Direct Club, if it's things like that, it's okay to say you don't know, but you should be well-versed in, you know, changes that are happening in dentistry and what's something new that's going on in dentistry. So definitely know those things.
You know, and if you find something that's interesting, but you don't really know what opinion you should take or what opinion you think is best, look up articles on it. You know, the American Dental Association gives their opinion on dang near
everything.
Like literally everything. We get emails all the time saying,
yeah,
we've released a statement on this, a policy on this, a referendum on this, a note to Congress on this.
Please,
and it's
sign
incredible.
It.
Like,
it is. It is.
It's awesome. But like, there's no room for ignorance anymore. There's no reason for ignorance anymore with how technology has connected us and how much information is out there. You got to know this stuff.
You do.
Because people are going to be asking you these questions about these topics whenever you are a dental provider. I swear, I was telling my friend this last night because she was like, you know, like she's in law school and she was like, yeah, you know, I've been in for a couple months now and people are already asking me for legal advice and whatnot and I don't feel comfortable. And I remember my first month of dental school, people were texting me, asking me about why their teeth hurt and what I thought. And it's like, I don't know. I've been in for a month, but people are going to ask you these questions for the rest of your life as soon as you start.
It's your profession. You're going into this profession. Know something about the profession. And like Marco said, get off of this podcast. Stop listening. We're hardly ever going to encourage you to stop listening to our podcast, but stop listening and get off of it and look up some information. Go on the ADA website, go on the ASDA website, go on the AGD website, just go somewhere and, you know, look up this information. So, we are moving on to a different question here at CSS School of Dentistry, the best dental school in the world.
It's probably going to be a stupid question.
Yeah, it's probably the best question that you've ever heard. So, here you go. So, Marco, you stupid candidate that we're not going to let you in. What do you like to do in your free time besides go on dates?
Ooh, shots fired there. Okay.
What?
Okay. So what do I like to do in my free time? Well, okay. So this is from when I was at the University of Arkansas and I was interviewing. So not here in New Orleans, but okay. What do I like to do in my free time? I think I've enjoyed my time at the University of Arkansas tremendously. And the amount of things to do outside of school is one of the reasons why I chose this university. You know, I love going to Razorback football and basketball games. And my sophomore and junior year, I lived in the fraternity house, which kept me very busy, but that constructed a really good social life for me. You know, going to all the functions and parties of that nature, I think was fun. And before I continue, I just want to say that my time at Sigma Nu fraternity was something I wouldn't trade for the world. And I know that fraternities get a certain rap in society with hazing and whatnot, but as someone who was in one for 4 years and served on the executive council and lived in the house for 2 years, I can say that that's not how it really is. It's a very constructive brotherhood, and I spent a lot of my free time with my brothers, whether that was going hiking throughout Northwest Arkansas, mountain biking, even just going out to Dixon Street, you know, going to the bars. Like, I'm not going to lie, like, that was a part of my free time. I think going to the gym, even, I think about all these free moments that I had, because as you can see on my application, I try to keep myself pretty busy. But in most of those free moments, I was surrounded by fraternity brothers and surrounded by good friends. And I've just been extremely thankful for my time at the University of Arkansas. And I look forward to making new friends while in dental school. And I was actually going to ask you guys this question at the end of the interview, is what are some things that students do outside of school here in New Orleans? Because I love this school. Everything I've seen so far is incredible. But I know that school won't be the only thing I'm doing for the next 4 years.
Man, interviewers eat that up.
Give them a softball question.
Oh, they eat that up. When you just toss that softball out there for them to just brag on their school, they love to talk, to just brag on their school. Of course they love to brag on their school. They work there. They're interviewing you to come here. So Marco knocked it out of the park. So if you're in a fraternity or if you're in a sorority, great. Fraternities and sororities do awesome things. You're so involved in the community, and like Marco was talking about, you're always surrounded by your fraternity brothers or your sorority sisters. So it's an awesome thing. Don't be afraid to talk about those things. They love honesty, and they also love being asked those softball questions where they get a chance to brag on themselves.
Yeah, I will say, if you are involved in a political organization, I would say this is probably, be very careful, but it could be,
yeah,
one of your times just to say, like, you know, like, I was part of the Young Democrats Club or the Young Republicans Club, and although we did a lot of political work, it also helped me build a lot of good friendships, and I would do community service with those folks or just go spend time with them. You know, you don't have to hide certain aspects of your life, because I'm sure you probably put it on your application, and right, you should. You know, like, schools, I don't want to say they don't care, but, like, you know, they're not going to accept or deny you based off of whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Of course, everyone has their own political biases, but that's not a reason to not accept anyone. I don't care what anyone in the media says. They're not going to accept or reject you just because you said, oh, I'm a Democrat or oh, I'm a Republican.
No, and they want diversity. Like, they want diversity in dental schools. They don't want everyone to be the exact same in dental school, because that is so boring. It's terrible. They know it is. Like, we all have very similar personalities. You know, we all want to do well. We all want to be successful. We all want to succeed. But we all differ in some little aspect of our life, whether it be politically or religiously or anything like that. They're okay with diversity. So like Marco was saying, don't make your entire interview about politics, but it's okay to say, I was part of the Young Democrats Club, or I was part of the Young Republicans Club, and explain what you did in that club. So, I mean, it's okay to talk about politics in some instances like that, but just don't make it the whole interview.
Yeah. And also with the free time thing, I mean, don't be ashamed to say, you know, like, I loved going to tailgates. That was probably one of my favorite things about Arkansas. It's just going to the tailgates. I don't care how good or bad our football team was. It was awesome.
And that's the other thing. They want to know that you did well in college and you also had a social life, because, you know, it's great.
You'll burn out in dental school.
It's great if you have a 4.0 GPA, but if you didn't do anything but sit in your dorm room and study, they're going to go with the guy that has a 3.5 GPA that was out and very involved on campus and doing so many things in their community and things like that. So they want to see a very well-rounded applicant. So your studies, very important. Your DAT score, very important. But it's also to show that you're a very well-rounded applicant.
Right. So, bad answer time? I think we need a bad answer
here. I think
we
do.
Clayton, what do you like to do in your free time?
Oh, man. I mean, I go to class. Usually when I'm not in class, I'm usually partying. I mean, well, no. So I do like to party. Like, I mean, I do like to go out and I do love to have a good time and I love to drink and things like that. Do y'all have tailgates and stuff? Y'all got those? I do love to go to tailgates. I do love to go to tailgates and stuff like that. But really, I stay pretty busy. I like to go. I'm pretty involved on campus, and I'm pretty involved in the community.
This is so bad.
And people know me. People, if you ask someone who I am on campus, they know me. And if you ask somebody in the community, they probably know me too.
Are we good?
What do y'all like to do?
Yeah, give them the ultimate softball question. So, what about y'all? What do y'all do in your free time?
What y'all be doing? So, be prepared. Like,
oh yeah,
there.
If you can't talk about your day, then you're a robot.
You are.
You're Mark Zuckerberg.
You are. And I mean, there. Mark and I both met people, and we talked to them, and it's like trying to like pull teeth. It's like you've never talked to a human being before, have you? You talk to a Wheat Thins box the majority of your time. Be prepared. You know, be prepared for those easy questions because, you know, there's easy answers.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you went to LSU? That's actually really cool. What'd you do while you were there? I was in the speech club. You're not acting like it.
I talked to people. What's that one girl? Wasn't there one person that interviewed?
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you all this story real quick.
It's not at LSU and it's not at Tennessee. It's not in any college in the United States of America, just in case this person is listening.
So, anyways, I was at an undisclosed location doing a dental school interview. And there were a certain amount of people in the room. I'm trying to be as vague as possible here. And all the interviewees were in this room, and then the dean of admissions, this guy is your biggest advocate,
yeah,
or girl,
yeah,
at any school you go to,
wherever it is.
So we're in there, and this interview so happened to be on a Friday, and we were all encouraged to socialize and whatnot. The interviews hadn't started yet. They were pulling us out of the rooms at various times to interview, and then the rest of us would stay in there, but we were all in the room. And she was a chatty Kathy, and she was talking, and this dean of admissions was in the room and was talking to her and a few other people, and she drops this line. She goes, "You know, I am just so happy that this interview is on a Friday." And you know, the dean looks at her and he goes, "Well, why? You know, you got big plans for the weekend or something?" Which she honestly could have answered this, you know, "I'm so excited to spend time in this town, explore around. I have a wedding tomorrow." So it worked out extremely well. Could have said literally anything except what she said. She went, "Well, you know, I'm always tailgating on Saturdays, and there's a big game tomorrow, so honestly, if this interview was on a Saturday, I'd probably be drunk right now."
I would.
And she was trying to kind of make a joke out of it, but me and all the people that were sitting there heard her, and I mean, my kind of shattered my chin there because it hit the table so hard.
That sounds like something Marco and I would say, but it's not something we would say in front of the dean.
Right.
Like, that is just, like, the deans at most places, at most dental schools, are really awesome people. They love interacting with pre-dental students. They love interacting with dental students. They seem like really cool people because they are. But they're still the dean.
They're still doctors.
They're still doctors.
They are still extremely high in administration. And also telling that person that the school is lucky that the interview was on a Friday instead of a Saturday. Like, no, there are tens of thousands of students across the country that would kill for an interview. And you were honored to receive one. And now you're going to nearly complain about what day of the week it was and say, "Oh, it was saving." I would interview any day of the week if it meant getting an interview and potentially chasing my dream.
I would interview at 12 a.m. if I have to, and I go to bed early. I go to bed at least 9 o'clock every night because I love my sleep. But that's the thing. Like, you need to show that you want this.
Right.
That
it goes, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You can't downplay the situation.
No, this is very important. Zoom's a little bit different because it's online now, but you still need to show up. You still need to be looking the part. You know, you need to be prepared.
Gosh, so that... I still think about that.
I know, I cringe.
She did not get in. That's not apparent enough.
School. I don't know how we know that. We just don't know that.
So, Clayton, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
I hope to be successful. I hope to be a dental school graduate. So, as of right now, you know, I don't know much about the specialties. I don't know much about ortho and endo and perio, all the other specialties out there. I've shadowed a lot of general dentists, and I really love general dentistry. I really love where I grew up in South Arkansas. I love rural Arkansas, and I know a lot of people don't like rural communities, but that's where I want to go back to. You know, I really want to go back there, and I really want to serve the people of those of that community, because they don't have a lot of healthcare. They don't have a lot of dentists, you know, in the surrounding areas. You have to drive a long way just to go to a Walmart or to a grocery store. So that's where I hope to end up. And I also hope to have a family. So, you know, I have a fiance now. You know, we're getting we'll be getting married soon, and I hope to have a family. So, you know, of course I want to be successful, but I also want to have a well-rounded life. I want to have a position in the community where I'm able to help out other people. I want to be, of course, I want to be a great husband and a great dad to my future kids. But I really see myself, you know, back in South Arkansas, serving the people of South Arkansas and just serving people in rural communities and hopefully making healthcare a little more accessible to them.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That was a really good answer, because I think it's important to talk about dentistry, but it's equally as important to talk about other facets of your life.
Yeah, you have more stuff going on than just dentistry.
And you
know,
talked about specializing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big thing. So when you come in, like Marco, and Marco came into his interview and he didn't talk about anything but oral surgery. You know, that's all he ever talked about in his interview, is like, I want to be an oral surgeon. Look at me. Oral surgery.
Because that's how my interview went.
That's, yeah. I'm just kidding. But you don't need to come
in. No, because I wanted you to ask me the bad question. That way we could elaborate on that.
Sorry. So, Marco, welcome to the best dental school you've ever been to. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Probably finishing up an oral surgery residency if I decide to go to the six-year route. Or if I do the four-year route, really getting established into a practice. I'm just really excited to do oral surgery. I know that's what I want to do with my life. I've worked at an oral surgery office for the past 2 years, and being immersed in that has really shown me that that's just what I want to do with the rest of my life. And, you know, hopefully I'll have a wife and kids by then, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, oral surgery is really just the main goal.
So honestly, that didn't sound like too bad of an answer, but he just, you know, he kept saying oral surgery. It didn't sound like that bad of an answer, but the problem is you're skipping over dental school. You're not going to dental school to be an oral surgeon. You're going to dental school to become a dentist. If you are lucky enough, if you study hard enough, if you work hard enough, and you really want to become a specialist, you can. That's great. But they don't want to hear that you're coming to dental school just so you can be an endodontist or an orthodontist.
Right.
That may not happen.
Because if they're going to accept you into this program, they expect you to be a dentist. And if you progress from there, fantastic. Because they know a certain percentage of people are. But here's the deal. Because I did bring up the fact that I was interested in oral surgery, which that's a long story now. But Lollier grilled me on that at my LSU interview. He goes, well, are you going to be an oral surgeon one day? And I told him, I go, you know, I think it would be a very nice lifestyle. And I've learned the field the past 2 years relatively well. But I want to go into dental school and I want to see all the different facets of it. And he goes, well, you know, wouldn't it be easier just to focus on oral surgery stuff and
setting him up for failure?
They will try and set you up for failure sometimes. And that's the worst thing you can do. I don't care if your mom and dad are both orthodontists and all your grandparents are orthodontists. You will probably be an orthodontist. But what if you aren't? Yeah. You can't slack off in school and you can't avoid these different subjects because who knows? You might fall in love with a different specialty or you might just end up as a general. I mean, you could not get accepted to a residency. It happens to people every year.
It does.
And then what? You didn't study hard in school and now you can't provide adequate care for your patients. And your time was nearly useless because you're not doing what you wanted to do.
So it's okay that you want to specialize. That's great that you want to specialize, but also don't make that your entire interview. They want to know that you're interested in the field of dentistry. They don't just want to know that you're interested in the field of orthodontics because, like Marco and I were talking about, it's very competitive, extremely competitive to get an ortho residency or really any residency. They're very competitive.
Only about 50% of applicants get in each year.
And you can't just say, you know, I want to do this. Because if that doesn't happen, then where do you go? You didn't talk about any of that. You just left that at the wayside. So now they're thinking that, well, if they don't get this, they're just not going to be a dentist. They're going to go do whatever. So they want to know that you want to come to dental school to be a dentist. So make sure, even if you do want to specialize, that you don't overemphasize that and that you emphasize that you do want to become a dentist. So, Marky, I would say, you want this to be our last question?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. So, how would you handle a difficult patient? Let's just say they don't want a procedure done, and they're screaming about the cost to you.
Well, I can understand their frustration, because I know dentistry is expensive, especially if you don't have insurance. And the first thing I would do is try to calm down the patient. You know, not even reason with them at this point yet. Just do whatever I need to do. Just keep my cool and try and get them to quit screaming, because that's going to cause a disturbance in the office. It's going to rattle other patients and it's just not a good look. And plus, you don't want someone angry in your office. I think it's also just about being a good person and calming them down. And I would just ask them to explain to me why they're so frustrated and why they're so angry and let them get it out of their system. And from that point, I would evaluate the situation and see whether or not they wanted an explanation, because sometimes people just want to scream and complain. And, you know, if they're not going to stop, then at some point, yes, I'm just going to have to kick that patient out of the office. Because I can't have someone in there who could potentially get violent and physical with my staff, but I would want to hear their concerns. And I think that's one of the best ways to calm someone down, is to just understand why they feel the way that they feel. And then from there, if they were open to a discussion, talking them through the procedure and then talking to them about the cost of it and then walking them through the different payment options. I think a lot of patients see a number and they freak out, but they don't understand that there's programs like Care Credit out there where they can finance it, or maybe we can try and get them on insurance, or even let's say it's right now, it's, you know, it's October and their insurance is going to roll over in January because they've used up most of their credits for the year. Maybe we can just wait until January or just try and work something out. But, you know, I would do everything I could to try and help the patient and calm them down. But if not, we would politely have to ask them to leave the office and then excuse them as a patient for further visits.
Excellent answer. I think that's a big thing, because people are going to come in your office and they're going to be upset. But a lot of the times, they're not necessarily upset about you. They're not necessarily upset about the things that you have to do or the cost that is going to happen. There's usually something else going on in their life. You know, they may have just had a relative pass away. They may be going through a divorce. You know, they may have a kid that's super sick and has been in the hospital for 6 months. You don't know what's going on in somebody else's life. So they may be yelling at you about this one thing, but you need to understand where they're coming from. And to be able to understand where they're coming from, you're going to have to talk to them. Just be like, okay, it's okay. Let's just talk about this. Just like, what's going on with you? What's going on in your life? Just start talking to the person, because more than likely, they're going to open up to you and they're going to tell you some stuff that you didn't know. You know, there's going to be some underlying issue that you just didn't know about.
Oh, if there's something that's bothering them, they're going to quickly quit talking about dentistry. And they're going to tell you about that sick kid or how they just lost their job.
Yeah.
Or things like that. And especially as a general dentist, I think, and we're kind of diverging from the question here, but I think these are really important points. So I want to talk about it. I think that the best thing you can do is just listen. You know, it's easy to get riled up when your friend or someone you don't even know gets angry, and it's easy to match that anger. But keeping your cool and just keeping a very calming voice can make a world of difference, because they'll run out of steam very quickly.
Definitely.
And tell them that, you know, if something really is bothering them, they're more than welcome to share it.
Yeah.
But they can't yell about it.
Right.
They have to use a calm tone.
And I think Marco also hit the nail on the head. You know, if they're just yelling to be yelling and they're not ever going to cooperate with them, the other alternative is they can go see another dentist. That's okay for you to lose one patient. Don't start yelling at them ever. Even if they're yelling at you, try to calm them down first. But if they're still yelling, you can see them out the door. But don't ever get worked up about it. And that's what you can tell them in the interview too. Just be like, I'm going to be calm throughout the whole process. I'm going to try A first. You know, I'm going to try to calm them down. And then B, if they don't calm down, I'll politely tell them to leave and they can go see somebody else. So, I mean, those are really your two options. So I think that was a great answer.
And if they refuse to leave, because this could be a follow-up question, because you're going to get some scenarios. Like, that's just a given. You know, if they say, well, what if the patient refuses to leave? Then you would say, well, I would politely tell the patient that I can call the police at that point. Never put your hands on a patient.
No.
Never grab a patient. Never have your staff grab a patient. Never. You, even if it means having them sit in your office for another 10, 15 minutes screaming, which, by the way, they're going to blow off all their steam by then.
Yeah.
And especially when you call the cops, they're probably going to, they're going to curse you on their way out the door, they're going to leave. But you always call the cops and let them handle the situation, because the moment that you put your hands on a patient, they are going to tell the world that Dr. G and Dr. S here beat the hell out of me in their clinic, and he grabbed me and threw me around, and that's your reputation on the line.
Yep.
Now, if someone, like if a patient hits you, defend yourself, but don't try and win the fight. Just defend yourself. Like I'm telling you, the less physical you can make it, the better, because you are going to have these patients come into your office, and it's very unfortunate, but I think when you're met with anger and hostility, if you can match that with kindness and compassion in all aspects of life, it's going to make a world of difference, and you'll never go home feeling like a bad person.
Exactly. I completely agree. And I mean, like Marco said, you know, always try to be nice to the person. Some people are just buttheads and they're not going to listen to you, but always try to be nice and emphasize that in your interview. So make sure the interviewers know that you are going to try everything you do before you kick the patient out. You're going to try everything you can before you call the police. So just make sure your interviewers know that, and that you're going to try to calmly handle the situation.
So anyways, I just met with the admissions committee and we did not accept you because you're a dingus.
I hope you're talking to yourself because I'm in.
All right.
Then. Oh, that's another thing. If you get a email and you've been denied, don't
take your anger out on that email, because that's
give
easiest way to get on the blacklist there. By the way, that's an incredible show and you guys need to watch it. It's on Netflix.
Seventh season just came out.
So good.
I haven't studied a lick because of it.
Literally, I've been in email chains where there was 20 deans of admissions all together. Like, they all talk to each other. Not like about certain applicants as far as like competing over them. But let's say that Clayton comes in and he tries to fight someone during his interview. I can guarantee you every school in the U.S. is going to hear about it one way or another. And he just made his chances of getting in exponentially harder. So keep your cool, stay grateful, and just be a nice person. That's the life lesson for the day. I know it's been a long podcast here, but we really do hope that this one was helpful, because you are going to be asked these questions.
You are. So we hope that you were able to get something out of it. We hope we were able to provide some insight that you can go into your interview feeling prepared. You're going to do great. If you're prepared for your interview, you're going to crush it. We believe in you. If you have any questions, be sure to reach out to us. Be sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And we really appreciate it.
And even comment on the post that we're probably going to make for this, or inbox us
definitely
with any questions that you have, or even your favorite part of the podcast. We love interacting with you guys. And you guys have been doing such a better job lately. Not that you were doing a bad job beforehand, but like it's been awesome to see how many people are getting comfortable and starting to reach out to us and asking questions.
We love it. That's why we did this. You know, we did this because we love talking to you guys. We love helping y'all out. We wish there would have been something like this for us just to be able to listen and kind of comfort us. So be sure to reach out. We're here for you. That's what we made this for.
So Clayton, you got anything else?
That's it.
All right. This has been your host, Marco.
And this has been your host, Clayton.
And you've been listening to the Pre-Dental Podcast. Boom, baby.
Yeah, you.
Hey, everybody. You thought the episode was over, but we're back already, and we're here with a surprising announcement.
We are doing another surprise giveaway for PAT Crusher. This time, the winner is Nicole Griffin. She goes to the University of Kentucky, and she is in the X-Horseshoe sword.
For people who don't know, that's actually Chi Omega.
That wasn't in a fraternity or sorority, so I don't know. But anyway, congratulations, Nicole. Be sure to reach out to us on Instagram, and we will get you hooked up with that free subscription to PAT Crusher.
Congratulations once again.